Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lamia, and I want to say first that I am very grateful for the many different perspectives offered on this subject here today. The title of my presentation is Peacebuilding Natives, and I'm drawing here on the idea that digital natives, this type of buzzword we hear all the time, is one of the many popular phrases heard in today's era of technological hypergrowth. These technological advancements together with strong securitization narratives now seem to prevail over the agenda of many different states and many different donors, unfortunately, as well. And they are opposed to what we are here to talk about today, which is peace and a positive peace above all. The analogy here would suggest that as these digital natives navigate technology better and navigate it more easily, peace-building natives might navigate the topic as being born into it, and by figuring out how it's done rather than learning steps and phases first from a theoretical perspective. So I'm going to briefly give an overview of where I come from, and this is the context of Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is a case study in peace building, essentially, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with it because it has shaped many academic discussions. And due to this, I will not explicate this context thoroughly and will focus on the impossible task of condensing my experience in peace building. So to start off, I would say that from early childhood, I was a project beneficiary and I was included in peace building under this broad umbrella. These peace building initiatives and times included also very unusual projects, such as shark tank simulations or a local recording of a rap song against drugs with a group of ethnically diverse kids. Also plays that children didn't understand, like playing the role of a bear in promotion of a supranational European identity that no child essentially understood. But also within this framework of growing up in peace building, I also got to experience a lot of positive initiatives, which have also motivated me to engage with this topic, both in my education and in my later work experience. One of these examples is the opportunity for me to attend the school United World College in Mostar, which is a high school fundamentally based on peace education with an explicit aim to contribute to a reconstruction of a post-conflict society. While I do experience, I value this experience deeply, I'm also a minority who had this opportunity. And to this day, the school's classrooms are on top floor of the building with two national ethnically segregated schools in the same building, which is famous in the paradigm of two schools under one roof system that ethnically segregates students. So in reality, this school now exists in a form of three schools within the same building. So my point here is that this system persists beyond a lot of effort and attention placed on Bosnia and Herzegovina as a field of peace building, and that despite many fragmented missions and project-based initiatives, this remained frozen in the framework of parallel institutions. So when I speak about my experience, I speak of Bosnia as a case study, but also Mostar as a case study within a case study that is stuck in a form of a negative peace, which is also now put under question of its sustainability with growing conflict in society, polarization, very evident hate speech, and denialism. So in this context, peace building remains the domain of non-governmental institutions and organizations primarily, who are now struggling more and more to find resources. Upon reflecting on all of this, I realized that the most valuable perspective that I could contribute with here is that of a peace-building native who grew up fascinated by the process. And I want to focus on essentially what work and to shed a light on these methods that I believe are effective and should be given more attention. So one of these experiences is the example of the summer youth program that existed in Bosnia for 10 years now. And I think it's not the specific example that matters so much, but what it contributes with its insistence on the importance of durability of one project where volunteers show up year through year and continue to deliver this program of bringing kids together in school while they're unable to study together in formal systems of ethnic segregation. So this persistent effort of enthusiasts, but also the engagement of past beneficiaries, which is another evidence of how this program is valuable and how in practice contact hypothesis is very important among young people in bringing together individuals to produce positive outcomes and creating lasting friendships and important skills for quality engagement in their communities, but also contributing to a higher degree of individual mobility, which can also be a separate point of discussion. So while this program operates as a de facto peace building initiative that brings together kids, it doesn't explicitly focus on it and doesn't state this in its explicit mission, even though it has clear evidence of it in its processes. Another set of experiences I will draw from is an organization that I'm working for now, Media Center Sarajevo, which has been an active local NGO for over 30 years, essentially since the last year or four, and how it offers lessons from long experience, from its focus on media as one of the factors in society that can balance conflict and drive it. Here on the side, I put some projects on LinkedIn if you want to see more about them later. But essentially, what this means in its approach is that it is important to focus on youth working together on constructive stories, in this case, because it's about media, but on constructive activities that have real life impact in their communities. And in these efforts of reaching these beneficiaries, that it's important to go into communities and find local actors to connect with, such as local associations, organizations, and local media, precisely because the experience has shown that if we take these members who are interested in peace building from the society to the center, we are taking them away from their communities and then putting them back in the context which has even less peace, so to say, to put it simply. So another dimension I would also highlight is that the idea of discussing dominant narratives that fuel conflict is very important to approach by focusing on underrepresented perspectives. And an example here is, of course, it's usually minorities and women, but it can also be a perspective that hasn't been told within this dominant narrative. And in this case, one case, it was journalists who participated in the process of documenting the war. So here I would also highlight that inclusion of women, because it is one of the main topics of the conference, is also very important, but important to be done in a way that doesn't frame them as passive victims, which has been a frequent experience in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and that these approaches need at times, new creativity and always intersectionality. So one or two, maybe more lessons I would emphasize is from the perspective of donors and organizations conducting peace buildings, is the importance of internal programming that focuses on systemic conflict analysis as the basis for work, and to create an effort to have a common understanding of conflict and mapping that is publicly available. So specifically, this can mean the importance of differentiating between the post-war and post-conflict conceptions in peace building, as this is a crucial difference as we just saw being made in presentation of poverty and conflict by Dr. Altmaier. I think this is very important. And I would also highlight that many actors in Bosnia from experience did not establish this common understanding, and that we should always be mindful of how we understand the war, the conflict, and to understand that ceasefire does not end conflict in a social sense or in other ways. And we should be cautious of what happens when we consider assume peace too early, essentially. So I would conclude maybe with my broader personal observations, also being that there is valuable initiatives. We have to recognize that valuable initiatives are consistently competing with political entrepreneurship, which instrumentalizes conflict-related grievances. While historical distance is welcome in addressing the past between first generations, this conflict that resides in collective memory in society, and as well as its persistent institutional manifestations, it should not be a reality we have to consider as something that needs to be perpetually negotiated. I believe that peace building must be interested in truth and in restorative justice. So when I was conceiving this presentation, I knew I wanted to offer more personal perspective as peace building processes shape my reality for as long as I can remember. And this year, the ongoing peace building process in Bosnia and Herzegovina reached its 30th anniversary, and so did the Srebrenica genocide. We're looking at it today with genocide defining our devastating present context. So a final reflection from me would be that I want to draw the attention to directly involving peace building makers in shaping and reimagining the peace building processes without subjecting them to politics of appeal in perpetuity. That is all for me for now. Thank you.